Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
Turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians chapters number 8 and 9. The Apostle Paul writes this letter to the Corinthian brethren. There are several things that had taken place. One of those things was that his apostleship had been questioned. There were those who were saying, Paul is not an apostle. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, Paul writes to them, and he said, do I not have a right to lead about a wife as the other apostles? There were those who questioned his authority. There were those who were trying to deceive the Corinthian brethren into thinking that Paul was not an apostle of God. And so Paul writes in his defense, not only in 1 Corinthians, but in the 2 Corinthian letter, he also is writing his defense, and in so doing, he is teaching the Corinthian brethren about stewardship or about giving. Well, when you look at the concept of giving, someone said that the most sensitive nerve in the body is the one that leads to the pocketbook. There are so many individuals who do not understand the concept of giving in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know of one gospel preacher who said to me, he said, I have been in this congregation several years. He said, I have never preached a sermon on the subject of giving. The Apostle Paul said that I have declared unto you, the Ephesian brethren, the whole counsel of God. He said, I have kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I have taught you publicly and from house to house. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17, the Bible said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. The Bible teaches us that we have an opportunity, that we have a responsibility, that we have a blessing that God has given to us. When you turn to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the very foundation of what the Apostle Paul is writing has to do with the contribution of the Corinthian church regarding the poor saints in Jerusalem. There had been difficult times for the brethren in Jerusalem. There had been great persecution of the church. The brethren were in dire need. The Apostle Paul had sent to them earlier a letter, and he had encouraged them in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. He said, let everyone upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And so now he writes to them in this second letter some words of encouragement, because it appears that they had started something and had not completed it. Now turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. I'm going to begin reading at verse number 10 of 2 Corinthians 8, and I'm going to read through 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. Listen to the reading of the Word of God. The Bible said, and herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, but by an equality that now at this time your abundance may be supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed, he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not that only, but who was and also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered to us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance, which is administered by us. Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but how much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you. Or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. Wherefore, show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. For as touching the ministry of the saints, it is superfluous for me to write unto you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boasted of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, you may be ready. Lest happily, if they of Macedonia come with me, and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof you had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. Ladies and gentlemen, when you and I look at this passage of Scripture, I'm just going to very quickly go through these verses, and I want to point out some principles that the apostle is writing to the church at Corinth regarding their contribution. Now, I want you to kind of look at the background here, and I'm going to emphasize some of these things. There was a need in Jerusalem. The brethren had a need. And the apostle Paul had made approach to the Corinthian brethren that they would help with this need. These Corinthian brethren said, we will help, and here's what we will do. And so now Paul is writing back to them because it appears that they were not following through on the responsibility that they had accepted. So I want you to look at some principles about stewardship. And I guess if I put a title of this message, it would be honesty in stewardship, or honesty in giving. So let me give you, I've got 5, 10, several points I want to emphasize. Number one is this, that honest giving is voluntary. I want you to look at this. He mentioned more than one time, he talks about willingness. When you look at this passage of Scripture, look at verse number 12. He said, for there first must be a willing mind. If you go back up in the same chapter, look at verse number 3. He said, for their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. He goes on to say that they had the idea. I mean, it was not a matter of, okay, I'm going to choke you, you're going to have to do it. It was of a voluntary nature. Ladies and gentlemen, contribution to the work of the Lord is on a voluntary basis. Notice this, that the Bible says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. The work of the Lord Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, is sponsored by the giving of the members of the body of Jesus Christ. It is not uncommon for me to drive around somewhere in Douglasville and I'll see some young people standing on the corner and they'll have Krispy Kreme donut. Now, I'm going to tell you, I like Krispy Kreme donut. As a matter of fact, I love that great big old red sign they have on down on Ponce de Leon at Krispy Kreme hot donuts. Now, these are not hot donuts, but they're standing on the corner and they've got a box of donuts and they have a sign and they name their church and they are selling donuts in order to help raise money for their church. I'm asking you, ladies and gentlemen, why didn't Paul tell the Corinthian church Why don't you have some kind of a raffle? Why don't you sell donuts? Why don't you do something else in order to secure the money that is needed to give to us to carry back to the poor saints at Jerusalem? Ladies and gentlemen, the work of the Lord is only to be sponsored, is only to be done by free will offerings. Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is to be sponsored by the preacher of the gospel is sponsored by those of us who, underline this, voluntarily and willingly give. His work will be done. The Bible says that His word does not return unto Him void. So the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and Paul says there first must be a willing mind. The Bible gives you and I the blessed opportunity to lay by in store on the first day of the week. And Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and he says to them, willingly give your heart and give your funds. Number two, his admonition to them in the second place is, you complete a task that's set before you. Look at what he says. Verse number 11. Now, notice this. Paul said that you made a commitment a year ago. He said you made a commitment a year ago. I'm just simply saying that you and I, those individuals who have the idea that you cannot make a commitment to the church regarding your contribution, regarding your giving, do not have a clear understanding of what the Scripture says. You know, we're not afraid to sign, except many times for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, when you start it, complete. We set a budget every year in this congregation. We set a budget every year. The Bible says, complete it. Perform it. That's what Paul said of these folks. He said, now therefore, perform it or complete it. Let me give you a third thing. And that is that giving is to be proportionate. Look at verse number 12, please. The Bible says, for if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Now, think about that proportion. The Bible says, let every one of you... Now, notice this, folks. The Bible says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now, when you look at that passage of Scripture, it says every Sunday, everybody ought to give something. Now, look at that. And upon the first day of the week, let 20% of the church? No. Let 50% of the church? No. Let 75%? No. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered. That word prospered is, again, proportionate. And that's what he's saying here, that a man is not asked to give not according to what he does not have, but according to what he has. Now, I want to combine another one. I think number five, you're keeping up with this. Number five, I want you to look at this. Or number four, whichever it is, and that is balance. Now, we've looked at the word voluntary. We look at the word complete. We look at the word proportionate. I want you to look at the word balance. Now, look at what he says in verse 14. But by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be supplied for their want and theirs vice versa. You know what? Somebody said, whoopee, man, this is great because, they're saying, hey, man, the Bible teaches socialism, doesn't teach anything of the kind, ladies and gentlemen. This isn't a socialistic concept. He is simply saying there is a time when your brethren over here in Jerusalem need some help. There will be a time when you will need some help. He is not saying that we want you to do this, send to them so they don't have to do anything. Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, Paul writes to the church in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3 and verse number 10, he said, if a man will not work, neither shall he eat. So it's not a matter of a socialistic concept in that. Somebody said, well, I think you ought to take from the rich and give to the poor. Well, that isn't what Jesus taught. Jesus taught you take from the poor and give to the rich. Somebody said, ooh. Look at what he said. In Matthew chapter 25, he gave one man five talents, one man two, and one man one. The man that had the one talent didn't do anything with it. God gave him a talent. Had one, he didn't do anything with it. What did he do? He didn't go up here to the guy that had the five and gained five more and had ten and said, "Whoa, wait a minute, we're going to take three or four of your talents and give them down here to this guy that's only got..." No. He said, "You take the one that guy's got and you give it to the one that's got ten." Somebody said, whoa, wait a minute, why? You see, ladies and gentlemen, we're not talking about that concept. Paul didn't write to the church at Corinth about that concept. Paul is saying the church in Jerusalem, these brethren are having a difficult time, and now we have asked you to not, and he points out at another time, not that they be eased and you be burdened. Each man not doing what he cannot do, but doing what he can do. And so, ladies and gentlemen, you and I must recognize that in our giving, that it is not it's not a matter of what I give or what some, it is a matter of what I have the responsibility based on what the Lord has blessed me with. Now, I want you to underline this. In Luke chapter number 6 and verse number 38, remember that the Bible says, "He which soweth sparingly," that willingness, "shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Let me give you another principle in this topic today. And that is honesty in our giving. The apostle writes to this church, and I think here's where he comes into defense of his apostleship. Because look down at verse number 18. The Bible says that we, or verse number 16, "But thanks be to God," you know what he did? "We have sent Titus to you." Now, you put this word down in your notes, in your mind, and that is the word leadership. You see, ladies and gentlemen, in our giving, in the work of the Lord, whatever it may be, there must be the right kind of leadership that dispenses those funds. See, the brethren over here at Corinth, they're saying, "Hey, man, here's old Paul. Look at Paul. Paul was a Jew. Paul persecuted the church. He must feel guilty for what he did. Those are his brethren over there at Jerusalem, and you know what he's doing? He's coming over here to Corinth to us Gentile brethren, and he is saying to us, he's actually saying, 'You give us money so I can take care of my brethren over here.'" That's what some of them could have been saying. And you know what he does? He said, No. "I'm sending Titus to you. You're not giving this money to me." There must be an accountability. Ladies and gentlemen, we try to keep this congregation informed, and there is not an expenditure that you do not have a right to know about. We have no secret funds. And it is a matter... Now, I want you to see this accountability. Go back to 2 Corinthians. And Paul said, "I sent Titus." But I want you to go down to verse 19. "And not that only... But he said, we sent another brother." As a matter of fact, you know what he says? "We have sent not just Titus, but we sent another brother and another brother whom you know." Accountability. There are those... I'm going to tell you... Listen, I don't think there's anybody in here who would look at this, but I want to tell you, if you would be so prone to turn on your television set and to watch some religious program and they're begging you to send us money, I'm going to tell you, call them up and say, "I'll send you some money, but I want a financial statement." They'd laugh you out of the city. Paul said, "No, sir. Accountability. We're not only sending Titus, but here's a brother that has, you know him. You've accepted him. You believe in him. You have strength in it." And we're saying, "And not only that, but here's another brother." Accountability. All right. Let me give you another one. No, and notice what he says there. Verse number 21. He said, "Providing things honest in the sight of all men." Providing things honest in the sight of all men. Now then, I'm going to give you three more real quick. But honest giving is an expression of love. That's what he said in verse number 24. He says, "Wherefore show ye to them and before the church the proof of your love." Oh, how I love Jesus. Now, what is the expression of my love? See, how do I show my love for Christ? A lot of ways. By my attendance, my Bible study, my prayer, but also by my contribution on the Lord's Day. All right. Number 8. He said that you might be, in chapter number 9, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4, he said that you might be an example. He said, "I boasted to you of Macedonia that Achaia was ready a year ago." He said, "Now don't make my boasting in vain." You know what Paul said to the church at Corinth? He said, I went over to Macedonia, and I told them at Macedonia, I said, "Man, you ought to look at that Corinthian church. You ought to see what they've done. You ought to see what they committed to do." Now he comes back and he says, "You do it." Paul says, you can be an example. The Bible teaches us to be that example. Now, the last point in the sermon will be yours. And that is, honest giving is giving that helps us overcome the sin of covetousness. Go with me to verse number 5. And he said this, I just want you to look at the last statement, as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. See, giving, honest giving is when I've gotten over this concept of everything's mine. Oh, it's mine, and I'm going to hang on to it. If I don't have it, I've got to have it. No. See, covetousness is this. The Bible says that life, this and this, Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, life does not consist in the abundance of the things which a man possesses. Oh, thank God for Paul. Paul said, "I'm not doing this for me." Paul said, "I'm not doing this so that I can satisfy my friends and buddies who are Jews over in Jerusalem." He said, "I'm doing this at the direction of God." You know what he says? "But God be thanked." My friend today, if you in your life have not been a liberal giver to God, I strongly urge you to study the Bible. I strongly urge you to search the Scriptures and to make the application into your life to help us be the kind of Christian that God would have us to be.